Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Amen. We'll end there at verse 21. Well, you know what it's like whenever you buy a household appliance. It might be a microwave or a dishwasher, a washing machine or a computer, TV, whatever it is. You'll always get instructions with the appliance, isn't that right? You've got your manual and it tells you how to set up your appliance and what you have to do to get everything working properly. Well, we read here in Colossians chapter 3 of marriage and the home, and God has given us instructions. He has given us, if you like, we could call it the manufacturer's instructions, because God is the one who created marriage. He made marriage. He planned that there should be a family. Way back in Genesis chapter 2, God instituted marriage and God instituted the family. And he gives us instructions because he wants the family to work, if you like, to use that phrase. He wants families to be places of blessing. And so the Lord has given us in Colossians chapter 3 and in many other passages his instruction manual for the home. So tonight, here's the recipe for a happy home. By the way, before we go any further, let me just emphasize that homes are under attack today. The family is under attack like never before. Let me read to you what John Phillips has said. The homes of our land are under attack. Our permissive society allows every form of pornography to be published and every form of perversion to be practiced. People generally accept a promiscuous lifestyle as normal. Chastity is scorned. Extramarital affairs are commonplace, wreaking havoc in homes. The home is under attack. And of course, that's one reason why we should be in a prayer meeting. I know there's other things to pray for, and there's the services and the work of the Lord to pray for, but one thing that we must always keep before us in prayer is the situation in our land and the homes in our country and the families in our country that are under attack. You see, the devil is aiming his ammunition at the home, at the family, because the home and the family is the building block of society. And the old saying goes, as goes the home, so goes the nation. As goes the home, so goes the nation. One of the main reasons why our society today is in an absolute mess is because the devil has been very successful in the home. He's been very successful in attacking the family unit. And of course, the Lord knows all about it, and the Lord cares for families, and the Lord cares for the home. As we've already said, the Lord wants the home to be a place of blessing and to be a refuge in a sinful society. So the Lord, in his love and in his mercy and grace, he gives us the instructions for a happy home. And here in Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, guided by the Holy Spirit, he speaks to the different individuals in the home. He speaks to the different people in the home. Now, he starts off with the wives. But let me just say, before I go any further, the reason he starts with the wives is not because he thinks the wives are the neediest or because he thinks the wives are the biggest problem. That's not the reason why the apostle starts with the wives. But he begins with the wives, and he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." Basically, what I believe the Holy Spirit is saying here is, be respectful. Wives, your duty is to be respectful. Of course, we could go on to say that husbands need to give their wives a reason to respect them. You know, there's no point in a husband demanding and expecting respect from his wife if he doesn't treat her with respect. But the apostle, he says, be respectful. Wives, be respectful. And the context here is a Christian home. Paul's writing to Christians. And he says that the wives are to show respect to their husbands. They're to submit to their husbands. That word submit comes from the military. It's a military term. It literally means to be under rank. Wives, you're to be under rank to your husband. You take an army. You've got a colonel. You've got a private. Well, is the colonel a better person or more important than the private? Not necessarily. Not at all. It's just different ranks. And the reason there are different ranks is so that the army can be as effective as possible. So Paul, he says here, wives, I want you to remember to show respect to your husbands. I suppose what Paul is really saying here, what he's really getting at, is the family is like a regiment in the army. Okay? He uses this military term, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And I believe that he's saying here to the Colossians, but also to us tonight, remember that the family is like a little army or a little regiment in an army. And it's good for us to remember that tonight. Thank God our families can be regiments in the Lord's army. And we need to remember that. We need to keep that always before us. The Lord can bless our homes, He can bless our families, and He can make them to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And He wants our families to be regiments in His army, fighting the good fight of faith. My regiment is the Campbell Regiment. My little regiment is in the Lord's army. But I've got a duty and I have a responsibility to protect my little regiment and to point them in the right direction. I have a duty to lead the regiment as a father. But each one of us have a responsibility. We have a duty as we fight in the regiments. Your family is your regiment, whatever your family name is. And your regiment is in the Lord's army. So Paul, first of all, he speaks here to the wives. He says they're to be respectful. They're to submit themselves unto their husbands. The Bible teaches that the husband is the head of the house, the head of the home. Now, I said the head, not the boss. There's a difference. Some men, some husbands think, oh, the Bible says the husband's the head of the home. That's the end of it. I'm the boss. And I lay down the law and you'll do what I say. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. The Bible says that the husband is the head. Doesn't say anything about the boss. Let me put it very simply. The husband is to be the leader in the home. He's to show the leadership. It's not lordship, it's leadership. And may the Lord give us husbands in our wee country who lead their homes. Husbands who go out in front. Husbands with courage. Husbands with conviction. Husbands who are not afraid to take their stand for the Lord and to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That's the husbands we need in our land. And you know, whenever you have husbands like that, the wives won't find it too difficult to show them respect. So wives, be respectful. Then in verse 19, Paul turns to the husbands and he says, be responsive. Husbands, I want you to be responsive. Be responsive to the needs of your wife. He says in verse 19, love your wives and be not bitter against them. The wife is not a doormat. She's not a doormat for the husband to trample all over her and to wipe his feet on her. No, she's to be someone that he cherishes, someone that he cares for, someone that he loves. That's the key word here. Love your wives. The Bible speaks about three different kinds of love. The first one is what is known as family love. Okay, that's the general love in humanity, man to man. You know, the general love that mankind has for each other. You know, if you see a person in need, and you might know them from Adam, but if they're in need, you'll try to help them. Isn't that right? Generally, most people are like that. That's family love. That's the general love that there is in the world today. Then there's the other, another love, a second love, and it's called sexual love. And that's the love between a husband and a wife. It's a pure love. It's a special love. And let me emphasize again, it's a love that's only to be between a husband and a wife. And mind you, you need to emphasize it in today's society because there's all kinds of relationships out there. And as far as Whitehall is concerned, every relationship's okay. If you want to do it, go ahead. And you just say to yourself, where is it going to end? What will be next? But this is a pure love, sexual love. The Bible speaks about this love, and it, particularly in the books of Proverbs and Song of Solomon, you have this beautiful, pure love between the husband and the wife. And of course, it's from this love, this second kind of love, that children come and children flow. And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 what God said to the first couple. He said, be fruitful and multiply. But there's a third kind of love that the Bible talks about, and it's found here in Colossians chapter 3. It's what's known as agape love. It's brotherly love. The Bible speaks of brotherly love. And this is the love that Paul is saying here that husbands must have for their wives. This is the love that husbands should have for their wives. Oh yes, there is that intimate sexual love that husbands and wives have. But Paul says there's an even more important kind of love. It's agape love. It's sacrificial love. It's love that will put itself out for the other person. You know, to put it very, very simply, it's called Calvary love. We're thinking here about Calvary love. Sometimes we sing that chorus about Calvary love. Lord crucified, give me a heart like thine. Teach me to love the souls of dying men. And keep my heart in closest touch with thee, and give me love, pure Calvary love, to bring the lost to thee. Well, that's a good prayer to pray. Lord, give me Calvary love to bring the lost for thee. But you know, we should also pray, Lord, give me Calvary love so that I love my wife. Lord, whenever I go home tonight, will you give me Calvary love that I'll not walk in through the door and say, where's the supper? We need Calvary love in the home, in the daily grind, just as much as we do when we're out knocking the doors in new buildings. Would you like to come to the church? Sometimes we forget that. And we can be so spiritual, whatever that word means. Sometimes I hear people use that word spiritual. Sometimes I wonder, what does it mean? But that's the term that's used. So spiritual, godly, when we come to do outreach or we come to the church. But the question is, what's it like in the home? The old saying goes, if you want to know what a person's really like, go and ask their husband or their wife. But Paul says, husbands, you've got to show Calvary love to your wives. It's the same love that Christ had for the church. Ephesians chapter 5, Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, be respectful. Husbands, be responsive. Then in verse 20, he moves on to the children. He says, children, be reliable. Be reliable. Verse 20, obey your parents in all things. Maybe you say tonight, well, what's that got to do with me? What's that got to do with us tonight? There's no children in the Bible study tonight. Well, there's a lesson for us that we should obey our Heavenly Father. Okay? Whether our earthly parents are alive tonight or not, what about our Heavenly Father? What about our Heavenly Parent? Are we obeying Him? We're His children. And Paul says, children, obey your parents in all things. But to bring it back to children, Paul's speaking here to the children in the church at Colossae. You know, it's always good when a preacher speaks to children. Isn't that right? It's important that the children are encouraged, that there's a word for the children, there's a message for the children, because the children are a very important part of the congregation. They're the church of tomorrow. We could say, in fact, to get it right, they're actually the church of today. They're a very important part of the church. And Paul, he speaks to the children in the church, and he says, children, obey your parents in all things. You see, Paul knows that if the children show respect to the authority in the home, then they'll show respect to the authority in school. Then they'll show respect to the police officer, to the forces of law and order. And ultimately, they'll show respect to God. And so the apostle here, he says, children, I want you to be obedient to your parents. The Lord Jesus is the perfect example of obedience to his parents. In Luke chapter 2, we read there of how the Lord Jesus went to Jerusalem with Joseph and Mary. And it tells us in verse 52 that he went down to Nazareth and was subject unto them. He was the ideal child, perfect child. And we would say, it'd be great to have a child like that. A child who never talked back. A child who never fought with their brother or their sister. A child who never stamped their feet, never slammed the door. A child who never told a lie when daddy or mummy says, did you do it on purpose or was it an accident? Oh, it was an accident. An accident? wasn't an accident at all. The child breaking the ninth commandment. It was deliberate, but the child says it was an accident. But these are the kinds of things that the Lord Jesus never did. He showed perfect obedience to Mary and Joseph. But what about the obedience he showed to his heavenly Father? In the same chapter, didn't he say, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business"? You see, the business that the Lord Jesus came into this world to do was not just in the carpenter's shop. It was to go to the cross. And every step of the way from Bethlehem's manger until he cried, "It is finished," on the tree, he was perfectly obedient. You know, on one occasion, he even said, "I do always those things that please him. I always please my heavenly Father." How many Christians in the world today could say that? "I always do those things that please him"? Not me. But the Savior was different. The perfect child. Wives, be respectful. Husbands, be responsive. Children, be reliable. But then Paul finishes off. He says, "Fathers, be reasonable." Fathers, be reasonable. Verse 21. "Provoke not your children to anger." Paul says, fathers, you're not to be dictators. Children, let's face it, children need dads, not dictators. Children need fathers who will come alongside them. You know, one of my favorite times in the day, now it didn't used to be my favorite time, but it's sort of grown on me. Last thing at night, bedtime. And I like, if at all possible, not happen tonight, although they might be up when I go home, because they're hard to get to bed. But if possible, I like to be there to tuck the wee ones in, because you can get a wee peek into their hearts. You can have a wee talk with them. There may be a wee worry in their mind, on their mind. And, you know, we Christian children have worries. When I was a child, I had worries. And the wee children have maybe something that worries them. And you'd be amazed. There's children, and I tell you, they're 100 times more Christian and spiritual than some Christians who've been saved for years, for decades. The wee children could put us to shame. And they've got their wee worries, and they just want to ask Daddy the question, "What about this, or what about that?" And you get a wee peek into their hearts. And you're building the bridge with them. And you're being a dad. Yes, Paul says, I suppose really what he's saying here is, take time for your children. Give them time. You know, the one thing that children need more than anything else is time. The parents to spend time with them. They need time more than things. Sometimes we think if we just buy them this or buy them that, then they'll be happy and we'll have fulfilled our duty. But what children really want is our time. Just to spend time with us. There's a story told about a wee boy, and his dad came home from work one evening, late. And the wee boy went up to Daddy and he caught his hand and he said, "Daddy, how much money do you earn per hour? How much money do you make in an hour?" Father was in a kind of a bad mood. He was tired. He didn't really want to be bothered with the child. But eventually, after the wee boy persisted, he eventually said, "Okay, if you really must know, £20. £20. Now go to your room. Leave me alone." The wee boy, he said, "Dad, could you lend me £10? Could I borrow £10? I suppose you want to go and buy a toy or something stupid with it." He sent the wee boy off to the room. The wee boy was annoyed, he was upset. The father sat down. And after a while, he thought to himself, "Well, maybe the wee boy needs the money for something genuine. Maybe there's a good reason for it." So he went to the wee boy's room. He knocked the door. "Son, are you asleep?" The wee boy was still awakened. And the father went over and says, "How much money do you need?" £10, Dad. That's all I need." The father reached in and got the £10 out, handed it to the boy. The wee boy, he reached in under his pillow. He pulled out a crumpled £10 note and he handed it to the father and the £10 that the father had given him. And he said, "Dad, there's £20. You earn £20 an hour. Can I buy an hour of your time? Can I buy an hour of your time?" The father was speechless. Didn't know what to say. He had been so busy, working long hours, spending very little time with his son. I read a report recently there, and apparently the average father spends, I think if I get it right, 37 seconds a day. Now this is fathers with young children. 37 seconds a day with them. That's not the way God intended it to be. God intended that fathers spend time with their children. And the Apostle Paul, he said, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger." So that's the recipe for a happy home. There's a message for the wives. There's a message for the husbands. There's a message for children and a message for fathers. The hymn writer said, "Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Saviour, where Christ is head and counsellor and guide, where every child is taught his love and favour and gives his heart to Christ the crucified. Oh, give us homes with godly fathers, mothers, who always place their hope and trust in him, whose tender patience turmoil never bothers, whose calm and courage trouble cannot dim. Oh, give us homes where Christ is Lord and Master, the Bible read, the precious hymns still sung, where prayer comes first in peace or in disaster, and praise is natural speech to every tongue. O Lord, our God, our homes are thine forever. We trust to thee their problems, toil, and care. Their bonds of love no enemy can sever, if thou art always Lord and Master there."